Hello, and welcome to this World Service Call hosted by the Fellowship Communications Committee. My name is Jeff. I'm the moderator for this 90-minute call titled Starting a Meeting, Fellows Share Their Experience, Strength, and Hope. If everyone would please join me in the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Okay, this is the third of a four-call series sponsored by the Fellowship Communications Committee on Building Support Through Communication. Our three speakers, Teresa, Kathleen, and Eric, will share their experience, strength, and hope on Tool 1, Meetings, and how to start one. Tool 1 states, we attend meetings at which we share our experience, strength, and hope with one another. Unless we give the newcomers what we have received from DA, we cannot keep it ourselves. The speaker portion of this call is being recorded, and all speakers have consented by having their participation uploaded to the DA website at www.debtorsanonymous.org/podcast. At this time, I'm going to be muting the line. Speakers, when it's your turn, please press star 6 to unmute yourself. Star 6 will also then remute you when you're done. Okay, our first speaker today is Teresa. You're going to have 15 minutes to share your experience, strength, and hope. How would you like your time broken up? When would you like a reminder?
I guess give me a 5 minutes and then a 1 minute.
Okay.
Do you have a
Brody?
Timekeeper?
Yeah. Brody, are you up?
Yeah, I will be the time 5 and a 1. Good.
Yes, please.
Okay. Teresa, it's yours. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Teresa Willis. I am a debtor, under-earner, compulsive spender. I've been coming to DA for a solid 5 years this time. I haven't debted consciously in that time. I feel like it's one of those diseases where there's always an asterisk lurking around the corner, like a late bill or all of a sudden I realize I'm paying for my telephone on time, and it's like, hey, guess what? That's debt. I am progress, not perfection, but for the first time in the last 5 years, I've had steady progress. I live in Louisville, Kentucky. I used to live in Los Angeles, where there's, as everyone knows, a huge Debtors Anonymous program there. And I went in and out of the program several times over my 24 years of living there, starting in the late 80s, and never could get a foothold. I had a hard time connecting. I'm going to do this, I'm going to find a sponsor, and I'd get up the nerves to ask for a sponsor, to ask for a PRG, and I don't know if it was my sheepishness or whatever, but people were really busy, and it was really hard to find a sponsor. It was really hard to find a tribe. So coming to a smaller market, Louisville, Kentucky, we have one AA meeting and DA meeting here that's been going since, I believe, the early to mid-90s, and it's been very consistent. At one time, it died off, and then it came back around. And it was there when I moved here. I knew where it was. I knew where the one meeting in the state of Kentucky was. And it took me a while to get to it. But once I did, I felt so grateful that it was just us. I mean, there's one thing to being in a place where there's lots of choice. But when you have no choice, where your only choice is one meeting, it really makes it very simple. It's like you go to the one meeting, you talk to the people that are there, They're looking at you. You're under a microscope. There's only six or seven other people in the room with you at most, and that's a big attendance. So everybody kind of knows. Have you had a PRG? No, you haven't. You know, and so the accountability is really raised up. But despite the advantages of the small, mighty tribe that we are, we do have a responsibility to grow this program. And there are a lot of people that can't be there at 6:30 on Sunday nights. I mean, that are debtors that need help. So we as a group had gotten some group sponsorship advice to start a new meeting. And we were always in a little bit of fear to do that because we thought, if we start a new meeting, will that weaken the meeting that we've got going now? And we all treasured that one meeting so much, and it was so important to our recovery. We didn't want to do anything to weaken it. But our group sponsor says start one anyway. We need to grow the program. So we took a group conscience, and there was a group of us. It wasn't just me. There were four or five of us from our Sunday night group that we picked a time, and we found a place, and we created a format, and between the four or five of us, we took a group conscience for format. We wanted to give something slightly different in that meeting than we do in the Sunday night, just to kind of diversify the offering that that we give in our city. And so we decided on a format, and we found a place at a local token club is what we call them here. It's a recovery house, not house where you go and live, but where a recovery, you know, a place where there's tons of meetings, and that's their only purpose, and you can hang out there in between meetings, and it's primarily AA, but there's all kinds of other programs that meet there, and that's their sole purpose, and they're a nonprofit unto their own, and so we got in with them, and they've been wonderful to us. The meeting started the first Thursday of 2018 and has been running ever since.
Sometimes, 5 minutes?
Oh, wow, that went quickly. Sometimes it grows big, sometimes it gets small. We recently had to move because the recovery house moved. So it's farther out, so it's changed the dynamic of the meeting. And then we decided we wanted to start a third meeting. My personal schedule changed, so I couldn't go to the Thursday night anymore. So it became important to me to start a third. And
it's actually 10 minutes. Sorry for that.
Oh, I thought that was quick. Thank you, Rhody.
Sorry.
No worries. Okay. So we decided to start a third meeting, and that's been a rocky road so far. We've had both external and I personally have had both external and internal struggles with it. It has, everybody's busy. We're all busy. I got a new certification that created, as a result of this program, my life has gotten busier, and I have gotten, I have refined my skills in my profession. So it creates more time, and we all only have so much bandwidth. And I don't know about your group, but a lot of us have kind of an ADD focus problem. And I don't know if there's a specific diagnosis, and if I should talk about that here, I don't have a diagnosis. I just always call myself ADD. I don't know if I am or not, but I do know that one of the obstacles to a group conscience kind of going forward and creating something is it's very difficult for us to keep focus. And I believe that's just part of our disease. It is, we do not shame each other because of it. We do not, there's nobody, wagging a finger at us at all. But it is, if you're out there thinking, how do I start a meeting and how do I get my group to expand? Just know that part of our disease is it's hard for us to hold focus. It's hard for us to follow up, in my experience. So So I personally get distracted, then I ask if somebody else can help with it, and that person takes on the task, and then something comes in, you know, their life, their job changes, or they have a family crisis. My mother-in-law recently died. Well, everything stops when that happens. So, you know, and we all have our list. We all have this stuff, and we're all doing the best we can. So getting this third meeting started, one of the things that we ran into was we found the venue that we wanted. It was a little closer into town so that it would be more geographically. We kind of thought we've got one in one part of town, we'll put one in another part of town, and we'll put in, and then that way it kind of covers convenience-wise the different parts of town. So I'm trying to get closer to downtown so that we've got people in southern Indiana that want to come over. And found the place. They said, yes, we'd love to have you. They agreed to host, and we were all set to go, and they said, we need some liability insurance. And I was a little, I know enough about business to know that you have to create an entity. It's either an entity or an individual to get liability insurance. And I don't personally want to take the liability. Do we create a nonprofit? And so if you're on a call on Sunday afternoon for DA fellowship, you know that something like we need liability insurance can just really send you into a tizzy. I talked to some people that I've been talking to involved in general service and ask advice, and somebody sent me a link to a publication that's actually on the website. It says when they ask for light, and it's in our literature, when they ask, see, I freaked out, and the answer is right there on the website. All I had to do was go and research. There's so much work that's been done by the General Service Board for the support of us. So just if you're out there trying to get this done, read the heck out of that website and reach out. The help is there. And it's right there. What it said in the literature is if they require insurance, ask if they will, if you can, the meeting can pay for a rider on the facility's insurance.
5 minutes.
Thank you so much. And so I put out an email to the people I was dealing with and asked, and they never got back to me. So we're in this kind of limbo with the third meeting, and then I asked if the other place could host it, and that person never got back to her. So we're at the mercy of other people's focus as well. Sometimes you just can't push the river, and that's a lesson in all of our affairs, right? So starting a meeting is no different. If God wants this third meeting, a way is going to be made. The second one was started very easily, and they ended up moving with the other group, with the other recovery, you know, with the facility when it moved, and now another area of town is served, and they're very happy there. So if we're going to grow to a third meeting, I'm very committed to that because I really would like it for my own recovery. God will give it to us. It's going to happen. And it's what I'd like to say about it, if someone is thinking about doing this, the deeper I got into service of my community, the more solid my program became. Like, I was less overwhelmed when I came back to my own program, my own numbers, my own steps, when after I got involved in service of the group as a whole. And I got very gratified when the second meeting we started reached people that there was no way they could make a Sunday night, and they're now in recovery. And I know with the third meeting that will happen. I think the phone meetings, we tell people, we encourage them to do the phone meetings. We are still, there's still just two meetings in the entire state of Kentucky. We have somebody travel from eastern Kentucky, from Appalachia, to come up and have a meeting, like, every once in a while. A couple from Lexington, you know, 2 hours away, come in every once in a while. And so growing this program in these other places, it should be all of our concern. And so if you're on a phone meeting and you don't have any meetings in your area, and you hear, you know, someone else say, you know, hi, I'm so-and-so from, you know, within a 50-mile radius of where you are, reach out and get their number. You know, for one thing, you can physically meet and support each other in that way. But, you know, maybe if we linked up some of these individuals who are finding recovery through phone meetings, we can create, we can, you know, tighten the web that that keeps us all solvent, that keeps us all recovering, and makes the world at large healthier. So I think that's all I've got. I'm sure I'm close
one
to
minute.
Time. Yeah, there we go. I'm really honored to be asked to be on this call, and I hope what I've said has been helpful. And I am going to have to duck off of the call early. I'm going to leave my name and my number if anybody wants to call. So if since I'm not going to be around probably for the question and answer period, I will leave my number right now. So if you have any interest in contacting me, you might be, get ready to record that number, and maybe they'll get it at the end as well. My phone number is area code 818-631-6743. And if you are contacting me, maybe text me first, because I will probably assume it's a robocall or something. So text me first and tell me your program, and we'll connect that way and decide when we can talk. All right. Thank you so much for letting me be of service. Again, my name is Teresa Willis, Louisville, Kentucky, grateful debtor, under-earner, and compulsive spender. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Teresa. Next up, we have Kathleen. As a reminder, star 6 to unmute. Kathleen, are you there?
Hi, yeah, I'm here. Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you. How would you like your 15 minutes broken up?
Maybe 5, 5, 4, and 1.
Does that make sense, Rhody?
Yes. Good.
Okay.
Thank you, Rhody. hi, I'm Kathleen. You guys, I apologize for not being there the first minutes of the call. I was trying to enter the password and it wouldn't take it. So I was like, okay, I don't know. I'll just keep trying. Anyway, I'm Kathleen, and I'm a debtor from Los Angeles, California, and very, very grateful to be on this call. Thank you so much, Rhody, for asking me, and this is a subject that's very dear to my heart. And I just have to say, too, that I've had some interactions with Teresa, who just spoke, and we realized later that we knew each other from Los Angeles briefly, not even from program. And she was very inspiring to me to see what, you know, she's doing there in Kentucky, where there's only two meetings and she's had a hand in a lot of it. And it's just a great example to me about how one person can really make a difference if you're just really trying to help carry the message. So I just wanted to give a shout out to her. Are we talking a little bit about, like, how we got here, or we were mostly talking about, you know, starting the meetings and stuff? I wasn't quite sure.
Your experience, strength, and hope around your around meetings, around 201, and about starting a meeting.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Well, I am a GSR from Los Angeles, so I've had the privilege of going to the World Service Conference a few times, and when I was there, I was very moved. I wasn't sure what committee to be on. You know, we all need to choose a committee. And I wasn't sure what committee to be on, and I went and I sat in all the different rooms, and they're all very powerful and very important. But I was particularly moved by the Hospitals, Institutions, and Prisons Committee. So I joined that one, and I've done that one for a couple of years now. And then this past conference, I also saw Mike, who is the head of the, who's the chair of the underserved and underrepresented caucus, on whatever group he was with before, and I'm sorry that I don't know. They actually made a map of where all the DA meetings are in the country. And when they put that map up at the conference, I could just see states that were completely blank. There were no dots there for meetings. And it took my breath away because, you know, I live in Los Angeles and we have almost 80 meetings. And I can go to a meeting any day I want, morning or night usually. And it's just such a gift. And I'm very grateful and very lucky to have this many meetings. And it really moves me to hear people from places where there's only a few or they've had to start them. And I forget, because there are so many established here in Los Angeles, that these meetings didn't exist at one time and somebody had to start them. Somebody had to sit in that room and not know if anybody was going to show up and just wait and everything. And so when I saw the map that had those entire states open, which I believe there's six of them in the U.S. that don't have a single meeting, I just thought, okay, I have to be on that caucus. This is very moving to me. So I joined that, too. So between the two, and there are many times where the two kind of overlap as far as carrying the message to debtors that still suffer, you know, who are in hospitals, institutions, or prisons, or, you know, just don't have any representation in their state. So we do our calls about this a lot. And anyway, I also had a personal experience I wanted to share. So I was in the state of Utah to visit relatives, and I really needed a meeting. I just really needed a meeting. And there is not a single DA meeting in the entire state of Utah. And I have never experienced that. So now I know what that feels like. And I just thought, I got to go to a meeting of some kind. And I have a family member who's an alcoholic, and they wanted to go to an AA meeting. So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to go with you to just be around the 12 steps at least. So I'm sitting in the meeting, and it was a very small meeting of alcoholics, very kind of casual, very friendly, you know, open, kind of a little less tightly structured. And we're all sitting in there together, and I'm listening to people share, and it's helping, but I also wish I could have my DA meeting. And it was so relaxed that I thought, you know something? I could see these people letting me share about being a debtor, which is a weird thing to think of in another program's meeting, but for some reason I felt that way. And I thought, okay, God, if I'm supposed to share in this meeting, then you just make it possible because I'm not going to ask these people. I just think that's weird. So I'm sitting in the meeting, and everybody shares. And finally, when they finish, the woman who was running the meeting looks at me and goes, does anybody else want to share? And I went, you know, I would love to, but I'm not an alcoholic. I said, thank you. I said, I'm actually a debtor, but this isn't a Debtors Anonymous program, so I'm just grateful to be here, so I don't think I can share, but thank you. She looks around the room at everybody for, like, a check to see, and she goes, I don't see why not. Go ahead. So I actually shared about being a debtor in the middle of an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, and by the end of it, they were coming up to me going, what is DA? I think I need it. I've never heard of that. And the person who was running the meeting was in AA like 30 years and had never even heard of Debtors Anonymous. And that particular region where I was staying in Utah, there was a lot of, you know, just unemployment and a lot of financial challenges. And I just thought, man, they could really use one here. So anyway, I got her information. I've gotten literature for them. And I'm working on trying to help them in their AA hall there start a DA meeting. But that was just, and that came as a direct result of being at the World Service Conference and them saying to us, how do we grow DA? How do we reach people? How do we carry the message? And I had that in my mind. And when we were at the conference, I found myself saying, you know, to me, the program grows in direct proportion with my willingness to reveal myself as a debtor. Because, you know, there are a lot of times where you may feel like, I don't want to say I'm a debtor, I don't want to whatever. And when I'm willing to not be in shame about that and to share my recovery, I have people approach me and ask me about it or start coming to program or we talk about starting meetings. So anyway, I think that's an important part of it too. But I was also part of someone starting a meeting here in Los Angeles, and I happened to show up, and she was the only person in the room. And so I was like, well, this is different. I haven't experienced this, but, you know, we're two or more gathered, so there's two of us. So we had the meeting, and she asked me to speak. And it was a really powerful spiritual meeting. And then I would just come back for, like, you know, weeks after that, and we would be the only two people in that meeting many times. And I thought, man, is this thing going to catch on? But there was also something really special about wanting it enough to be willing to show up and just hold the space for it to grow. And, you know, started mentioning to people, and eventually it did start growing. And now that meeting, when I've gone back, it's really large. I can't even go to it anymore with my schedule, but it's really large, and someone just asked me to speak at it. And I thought this all started from a woman who just wanted to create this and was willing to show up and sit there alone and just read her literature and just wait and see if anyone else came. And I think that's the thing, is the willingness to just do the work and just hold the space and turn it over and not know what's going to happen, but realize there's a need for it. And so on my on the Hospitals, Institutions, and Prisons Committee, there's a friend here in DA, just had a friend who did some time in a financial crimes prison here out just outside of Los Angeles. So now we actually have a connection with someone who was an inmate and is now released, and my friend who was friends with this person wants to try to help start a meeting in that facility. So that's what I'm working on as well, trying to carry the message in there. And then I was able to go to a temporary aid place here in Los Angeles that actually many years ago before program, when I was having real difficulties, you know, I was living with my boyfriend. I were living together. He lost his job and hadn't found a new one, and we were really struggling. And I had been directed to them to help with utility bills because they do that kind of thing. So I was able to go this week and bring them literature and talk to them about Debtors Anonymous, since everyone they help is having financial difficulties, and, you know, I think many of them might be debtors. And they were so receptive to the literature. And they said they'd been thinking about trying to do workshops or things. And I was able to tell them, well, you know, I'm on this World Service Committee, and we could actually bring a panel in here and speak. And, you know, I just want to let them do it at their pace. I don't want to push. But I could see there being a meeting in this place because, I mean, I've been through it. I experienced their services. It's a really great fit. And it would be a perfect place for others to come. And then, you know, I could ask people in program who have time in recovery who are willing to come and be part of that meeting too. So it was really powerful. Like, when I left there, I just felt like that's what you were really supposed to do today. That was the most important thing you did today. And it just constantly reminds me, like, how lucky I am to be where there are abundance of meetings. But, thank you. Through these committees and caucuses, I'm able to talk with other debtors from around the country and around the world, and I'm really seeing, because it kind of seems overwhelming, like it's the whole world, and how do we help, and how do we do this? But it's really not, because, like, the way Teresa had reached out and wanted speakers from, you know, for her one of her meetings, and someone had somehow forwarded me that email. I don't even know how it got to me, but I got the email, and there's an abundance of great speakers that I know here, so I was happy to gather a list and get it to her. And then even on my caucuses and committees, you know, we could go, hey, who's willing to speak? Because she was doing a meeting where it was in person, but they would also have a speaker from on the phone, which is brilliant. I think that's a brilliant idea and a brilliant way to grow DA. I don't mean to keep saying grow DA. Someone said that once, but it's a great way to carry the message. And it just shows me we can do it from wherever we are. And that, you know, when we're in areas that have more meetings, more speakers, and more sort of manpower to do this stuff, we can give back and help out, help other people in other areas start their meetings. And I'm realizing it's much more of an intimate grassroots kind of thing than I thought, you know? I don't have to try to figure out how to solve the whole world. I can just talk to a few debtors in other places. I talked to Teresa. One of the states that I would really like to help get some meetings into is Alabama, which I believe is ranked as the poorest state in the United States, and they don't have a single meeting in Alabama. And so she had a great suggestion, you know, about contacting the intergroup, the phone intergroup, for the phone meetings to, you know, start to find people. Maybe there's people in that state that are on calls that can, that would be interested in starting a meeting, and, you know, just things like that. So not to push, but to make ourselves available to support when people want to do this. And I know because a lot of these meetings here in LA have been here so long, I just take for granted. I never thought about how they started. And it was a real honor to sit in that meeting with the woman who started it and just sit there and be a little uncomfortable and a little uncertain. But it felt deeply spiritual, and it felt like the absolute right thing to do to just sit in that room for weeks at a time and not know if another person was going to walk in the door. And now, you know, I've gone to that meeting, and it's big, and it's healthy, and there's a lot of recovery, and there's a lot of love. And I will leave there, and I will call my friend and say, I just wanted to tell you, I was at that meeting, and there's like 30 people there, and they were saying how much it means to them. I just think you should hear it, because I remember when you sat in that room by yourself. So it's just a really good reminder to me, and that's another thing, being a GSR and getting to go to the World Service Conference. I can contribute to making a difference just with my actions or a phone call or returning an email or reaching out. Like, I can actually help with the help of others, like, really make a difference and help carry the message and change things. And it doesn't have to be like climbing Mount Everest, and it doesn't have to be overly complicated. It just usually requires me making some calls and going, you know what, I'm going to do that right now while I'm thinking about it. Otherwise, 3 weeks is going to pass, and I'm going to be like, I never did that. So I'm trying to do that with support from people on my caucuses and committees, also action buddies. I have an action buddy who's talking to people regularly. She's on like a team with people from all over the world who support each other and taking their daily action. Thank you, their daily actions. So, you know, she's supportive, and I can, there's just a lot going on, and it just feels like, for me personally, it's starting to get woven together to make more sense and go, oh, this person does that, and they can help with this, and I can help them with that. It's just more grassroots, so I just need to speak up, ask for help, share. And when I talk about it as a GSR in my meetings, people start coming up to me and offering support or asking for things they need in other states or other countries or somebody they know. And I think that's how we do it. But it really requires me being in as little shame as I can about being a debtor and being willing to be like, this is an amazing gift that has changed my life and saved my life. And I really want to do what I can to make sure that other people can at least hear that it exists and then decide for themselves if they want to come. But if somebody is sitting somewhere in a room by themselves in a state that doesn't even have a meeting, you know, it's really rewarding to know, thank you, that we can help by, there's ways to help even though we can't physically be there. That's my time, right?
Thank you, Kathleen. That was awesome.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
Okay, next up, our final speaker is Eric. Are you on the line, Eric? Star 6 to unmute. Eric, are you there?
I wonder if he had a hard time getting in, because I did.
Check my email here real quick and see if I've got anything from him.
I just texted him. Let me see if he gets back.
Okay, well, now we're off script. I love it. I'm going to go ahead at this point and turn off the recording since we've had our two available speakers.